roster moves real quick. Yesterday, we waived Steve Hole, wide receiver, Tyrone Ezell, nose tackle, linebacker Marcus Thompson, and we signed wide receiver Tobias Palmer and tight end Richard Quinn. It puts us at 89 right now. We'll see where we're at with that last spot. Today was a little modified. We changed up some of the periods. The emphasis was 2 minute. That was the install last night. This afternoon, we'll get another walkthrough in and then kind of shift our gears tomorrow, being the focus on St. Louis. Any questions?
So, have you made a decision on Drew's availability for Friday?
Not yet.
Looks like you turned up the dial a little bit today, made it a lot more physical practice of running backs, working on blocking.
We had a period that was different than we had a pass pro period, which involved, you know, four different areas of the field where, you know, everyone was in some way, shape, form of blocking, pass protection, mainly with the tight ends and linebackers, running backs and linebackers, trying to create game-like experience, you know, and when you do that, you get a little bit more tempo.
I saw you watching the running backs pretty closely during that period. What did you think about?
Listen, it's a good drill. The challenge is always trying to simulate, you know, the holes the linebackers have to hit. Oftentimes, they can become kind of allies of the running backs when you're talking about linemen. But the key thing you're looking for is just pad level technique, and that's the whole thing that we're trying to work on daily, is improving the technique these guys are either rushing with or blocking with. And that was the emphasis of that drill.
Hey, Sean, you're talking about Breeze for Friday. Why wouldn't that even be a question right now? He hadn't practiced.
We just haven't come out and said, you know, said which way or another. We're kind of monitoring it day by day. He's feeling a lot better, and we'll see. I mean, I probably by tomorrow would know, but I don't want to say one thing and all of a sudden it'd be the other. So I know he's feeling better.
What about a couple of the linemen, the Grubbs and Evans?
Same way. You know, we're gonna see how they feel tomorrow. You know, we'll probably make a decision tomorrow with a lot of the injured players, and then that'll have some bearing as to whether they travel or not.
Sean, what's your view on the value of exhibition games? Is four too many, two enough, and maybe would you be better served with more scrimmages with other teams?
I think this, you know, you're at 90 and you're going to be down to 53 here in about 3 or 4 weeks. I currently like what we have. That's just, you know, we've got four opportunities. I don't want to say they're much like scrimmages. They're not. But they're opportunities for us to evaluate. And, you know, there's going to be a player or two here Friday night that stands out, maybe separates himself a little differently. And the easiest way to do that is in the kicking game. And yet I recognize the challenge as you get to the final preseason game, which are all typically played on Thursday. You're mindful of injury. And so those are the challenges. I don't know that changes if you're playing three preseason games. It's really the distance from the last preseason game to the start of the regular season. So, you know, I currently right now think that what we're doing works. I think the modifications we made to training camp have helped. You know, and you know, look, it is what it is. I really don't give a lot of thought to it because it's probably an area that, you know, you don't have a lot of control over. But I think so far this calendar's worked pretty well. And we've got, you know, obviously a lot of time left here.
Hey, Sean, obviously Brandon Cooks has had a really good camp. From your perspective, as the learning curve continues, what's the next thing you want to learn about him?
Well, I think with regards to what he missed in the spring and then where he's at now, he's picked things up pretty quick. I think there's a plethora of technique things that we're working on. That would be the number one thing, the technique of the position, the alignments, some of the, like, 2 minute calls, some of the hand signals, if you will, a lot of the nuances that come with just repetition and come with practice time. I think that would be the number one thing.
Sean, looking,
he seems willing to block, and he seems like he's got a toughness. The other thing I would say also is consistency as a returner, you know, locating, tracking, and on every snap, you know, catching the ball properly, securely, and being reliable that way.
Sean, looking early in practice, I think this first time, you know, did this drill, and, you know, most of the times fans, they look at the offensive line and pass protection, but talk about how important for the tight ends to also develop that skill set, and then obviously the running backs being a part of protection.
Well, there are a ton of snaps where a tight end for us might be involved in protection, oftentimes, you know, on a linebacker or safety, and then sometimes with the tackle on a defensive end. There's a little bit of not a guessing game, but with regards to your protection, there's snaps where the back releases right away and is not involved in any protection. And then there's other snaps, quite a few, where he's got to be able to block an inside linebacker. So the only way to work that technique is to kind of create that live drill, if you will, because it's hard to necessarily get them the reps in team because oftentimes there may not be a dog or a blitz. So that was one of the points of emphasis today, is setting up four different drills. The receivers were working on their blocking with the corners. The tight ends were down here working their technique, blocking the outside linebacker position or the strong safety position, and then the running backs handling the inside linebackers. So it's something that in training camp we'd like to get to once a week, and the idea being a player might get four or five snaps, and then, you know, it's going to come up in a game, and I, what I don't want is the very first full-speed look for a runner or a tight end to be, or one of our guys that are involved in the pressure to be in a game. So, but I thought it was good. I thought it was organized. I thought guys were going hard.
Obviously, it's going to be Michael Sam's NFL debut, and because of that, there's been more national attention than maybe a typical preseason game. Do you think the way the NFL has handled this and the way players have handled this will make it the next time around, it won't be as big a deal?
Well, I don't know that the players or the NFL contributed to how big the story was or how little the story was. I think I said this back at the owners' meeting and at the beginning of the training camp with our players or the offseason is, you know, if you listen last year to a year and a half ago to Parcells' Hall of Fame speech, I think it's very right on, you know, and I think we're in a business, we're in a league that is striving to win, and I think the locker room welcomes all those that can help them do that, and the history of our league has had players from every state, regardless of color and creed. And so I think the same thing would apply. I think the uniqueness is that this was a first, you know, and typically after the first, it's probably not the same story with the second or third. But I don't know that now once we get into the game, I think that you know, we use this term, they're faceless opponents. We're blocking assignments. We're playing against a team last year that finished strong and a team that, you know, gave us a good butt kicking in the regular season. So, but to your question, I think certainly my expectation would be it would not be as big of a storyline the next time it occurs. And I think history has told us that with regards to other barriers in sport.
Tony Dungy drew a lot of flack for saying he wouldn't have drafted Sam because of the distraction. If you had been in position to draft him toward the end of the round, would that have been a consideration for you?
It would have been based on our grade. I mean, I read partly what Tony said. You know, our decision strictly during the draft would be based on whether or not we felt like he could help us and whether or not we had the grade on the player. It didn't come up, but that's what we would really look at.
Regular season, your goals and what you want to see in your team are different than preseason. What are you looking forward to seeing Friday and some of the things you want to see?
Well, look, a simple thing like alignment, having the right amount of players on the field. One of the challenges for the special team coaches this time of the year is you're dealing with 90 players. You know, we try to break it into phases, and so everyone is communicating when we're in phase one, phase two, or phase three. There's a lot of moving parts with regards to the special teams. So what you don't want to see is 10 guys on the field or 12 guys on the field. You want to see guys getting set, getting aligned, and playing fast. That's the best chance to evaluate a player is when he knows what to do. And if he doesn't, then you're really not getting a good evaluation. Now, if he consistently doesn't know what to do, you're gaining information as well.